I heard about this little boy. He was singing some Christmas carols. He's singing Silent Night. But he didn't know the words at the end where it says, sleep in heaven. Is it sleep? He's singing, sleep in heavenly beans. And his sister said, that's not how it goes. It's peas. Sleep in heavenly peas. And I'm just singing often how Christmas goes for a lot of us. I mean, there's no peace. I mean, it's anything but peaceful when we get into celebrating and all the things that we have to do in the month of December to prepare ourselves for Christmas. The angel sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those on earth. So where's the peace? I mean, that's a question that's driving me today. Where's the peace? And maybe to ask this, when you think about all the preparations for Christmas, do you get stressed out? And if you get stressed out, I'm just kind of curious. What stresses you out? I'm thinking what stresses me out. I got a list of things here. Maybe is it the shopping? Is that what stresses us out? Or fighting traffic? Finding a parking spot, or fighting traffic, or trying to figure out what size everybody wears, that's extremely stressful. Trying to make sure you don't forget anybody on your list. The words, some assembly required, that can be stressful. And fighting traffic. And going to all the required parties and going to all the required Christmas programs and putting up the decorations. Whoa, it's power. So untangling the lights. Did I say that one already? And untangling the lights and fighting traffic and cooking and cleaning and wrapping presents and making enough cookies and trying to spend time with both sides of the family. Just spending time with family. I mean, is that what's stressful to some of us? Is it all the money? I mean, we see all this money just going and going and going and all the bills coming in and paying off the credit cards. So, I mean, it can be a very stressful time, this thing we call Christmas. Yay, you know? Which takes me to Luke chapter 10, which I'm thinking this is appropriate. This is the story of Mary and Martha. And just listen to the words. You'll know exactly where I'm going with this here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There we go again. Last week we talked about, be prepared. That was John the Baptist's message, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So we talked last week about preparation. And here we see Martha, she's distracted by all the preparations. And I'm thinking, could you and I be guilty of this very same thing? We get so caught up and so distracted. She was distracted, she was worried, she was stressed. Why? Because Jesus was coming. I mean, this is a Christmas story right here. I mean, you would have never thought this is a Christmas story, but this is why we get stressed. Jesus is coming. We're trying to prepare for Jesus' coming. And we get stressed out. They were preparing for this great celebration. In the context of what this was written in, I take you back to John chapter 11, where Jesus just rose Lazarus from the dead. That was John chapter 11. And if you remember, Lazarus had two sisters, and their names were Martha and Mary. Well, then, so that's what happened. Lazarus is alive again because of Jesus. So in John chapter 12, the very next chapter, it says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. A dinner was given in Jesus' honor because he rose Jesus, because of Lazarus. He's alive again. So they're celebrating in Jesus' honor, which sounds just like Christmas. This is Christmas. And in the story, here's what happened. Martha served. That's what Martha does. She serves. And Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. So Lazarus is with everybody. He's entertaining everybody. They're saying, well, what was it like being dead for 3 days? Well, he's sharing all the stories of what he experienced. And then there's Mary. This is what it says in verse 3. This is John chapter 12, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance, the fragrance of perfume. So what's Mary doing? Mary is at Jesus' feet. Martha's serving, and Lazarus is sharing all the stories, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus. And what's she doing? She's worshiping Jesus. She pours all this expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. And she's making a mess that now Martha has to clean up. So Martha's just having a really bad day here. And I found this, I've used this before here, a little comparison, Martha and Mary here. Martha, you see, she's the older sister, and we know that, not that the scriptures doesn't say she's older, we just know that because she's the bossy one. So she's the older sister, and so Mary's the younger sister. Martha is type A, Mary is type B. Type A means, she takes charge, she organizes, she gets things done. But Mary, I mean, she's type B. She takes it easy. She's like, life is great. Look at the rainbow. That's Mary. Martha is active. It is do, and she's always doing. But Mary, she's more. She goes with the flow, and she's contemplative. She just wants to be. She just wants to enjoy the moment. She's a human being, where Martha is a human doing. So there's a difference there. Martha is driven. Mary is called. And I want you to see that there's a difference there. Being driven, what drives you? She's driven by an agenda. She's motivated maybe by power or praise or guilt or fear or pride. But being called, when you're called by God. And when you're called by God, what motivates you then? You're motivated by joy and love and grace. So Martha, we see that she's compulsive. Mary is committed. And Martha, she's preparing all these presents for God. Which means she's preparing food. She's preparing dinner. She's preparing the dessert. She's preparing her house, making sure the sheets are clean, doing all this stuff. And that's Martha. But Mary is enjoying the presence of God. Martha is responsible. She's task-oriented. She has a never-ending to-do list. Mary, she's relational. She's people-oriented. Martha is work-based. Mary is worship-based. Martha is stressed out. She finds out Jesus is in town, so he needs a place to stay. The house isn't clean. They have no food. Walmart is closed. It wasn't open 24 hours like it is now, and she's still in her sweats, and Mary, she's worry-free. She's worry-free. You know why she's worry-free? Because Martha's doing all the work. She loves Martha. Martha's great. Which are you? Are you Martha or are you Mary? Can you identify with Martha or Mary? Martha being distracted, and Mary's just caught up in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're Martha, you're annoyed by Mary. That's your sister. All right, change the names. It's Bob and Fred, you're annoyed by your brother. Or you're annoyed, maybe it's your spouse that's just driving you crazy because you're a Martha and your spouse just is driving you nuts. Now, if you're Mary, I want you to understand this. Martha is annoyed by you, and you need to apologize. Take it easy on her. She's all stressed out. So just understand the situation that your sister's in or your brother's in. And if you don't know which one you are, that means you're Mary, okay? So that's who you are. So now to talk about a little bit about Mary here. Mary, it says she had a sister called Mary. Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. This is what she's doing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's always sitting at the feet of Jesus. You find Mary in John chapter 11 at Jesus' death, or no, at Lazarus' death, she falls at the feet of Jesus, and she worships him there, and said, Lord, if you had been here. But where's she at? She's at the feet of Jesus. And then in the next chapter, in John chapter 12, when she takes the perfume and she pours it all over, well, she's pouring all over Jesus' feet. She's always at the feet of Jesus. And here in Luke chapter 10, we find her once again. She's at the feet of Jesus. This is what Mary does. Mary loves Jesus. Mary loves to worship. She loves to learn. She has a dynamic prayer life. She enjoys small groups. She needs church. She needs to be with God's people. She's full of love for Jesus and others. But this is what we see. Mary's at the feet of Jesus. And Mary chose which was better, is what Jesus says. He says only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Mary, when we look at what Mary, she sits at the feet of Jesus, and she chooses what is better. Martha cries out, Lord, tell her to help me. And Jesus says, no. Think about this. Jesus, the Lord of the universe, he's way too smart to get in the middle of this and say, you know, the woman needs to work in the kitchen. No, he ain't doing that. He's, no. No. Can you imagine what the Bible would be like if Jesus said, Mary, you need to get in the kitchen and help your sister? I mean, Christianity would be totally different than what it is now. He says, no. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away. Matthew chapter 26 talks about Mary as well. Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. We're talking about pouring the perfume over Jesus' feet. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And this is what it says in verse 13. This is Matthew 26, verse 13. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Mary will always be remembered for this. Now, unfortunately, Martha will be remembered as well, but not near for, you know, the good things Mary's being remembered for here. I mean, this is a bummer for Martha, because she's going to be remembered too. And she kind of gets a bad rap here, because I'm thinking Martha's not that bad. Martha, look at the good about Martha. See the good here. Martha opens her home to Jesus. It doesn't say Mary opened her home. It says Martha opened her home. So, and we all praise Mary. But it's Martha who opened her home to Jesus. What it said in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So here we see Martha. She has the gift of hospitality. I think, you know, this is good. And back in John chapter 11, Martha says she's the one who gives us the good confession. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Not the same good confession that we say, but here he is. It's a good confession. She said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. This is Martha. Martha, who has the gift of hospitality. Martha, who recognizes who Jesus Christ is. And Martha loves Jesus. Now, what you see here, Martha wants to serve Jesus. And Martha is great. So why does she get such a bad rap? She opens her home to Jesus. She's the one who's doing all the work. And everybody loves Mary. And it's not fair, you know? How come everybody's praising Mary when Martha has this wonderful heart for the Lord and she's the one who's doing all the work? And the answer is because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I wonder if Martha recognizes that. Okay, everybody's praising Mary because she's at the feet of Jesus. Now, if I just add that to my list of things to do, you know, I got to clean the house, I got to cook, I got to do all this, I got to clean up Mary's mess, and I've got to sit at the feet of Jesus too. So she's stressing herself out. Martha is great. What is the problem? And the problem here, it goes back here. Martha was distracted by all the preparations. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. So okay, we talked about the good, and there's a lot of good here, but what's the bad? What is the bad with Martha? And I got four things here. One is Martha, she was distracted. Distracted by all the preparations. All the trivial stuff, all the stupid stuff. She's overextended. She's overcommitted. She's focused on the food, not on the Lord. Her focus isn't on Jesus. So she's distracted. Think about that. As we approach the Christmas season, as we approach the celebration of the Lord's coming, I think I'm talking to the ladies here. I'm not, you know, the guys, we're not. We just show up, you know. Wife says, hey, we just go. But I see the wives, you know, we get getting all stressed out about all this stuff. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. Where's the focus? It needs to be on Jesus. So Martha was distracted. Martha was resentful. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Don't you care? She's resentful about her sister. Here's the issue. Martha looks like a good and faithful servant. But inwardly, on the inside, she's seething. On the inside, she's frustrated. She's mad. She's upset. And she's resenting her sister. She thinks she's the only one who's doing anything. She thinks she's the only one who cares. And she's resenting her sister. Not only is she resenting her sister, it looks like to me like she's resenting Jesus himself. Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care about this horrible problem I have here? Don't you care? Okay, let's think about that. Does Jesus care? I mean, where was Jesus going? Jesus was going, he was on his way to Jerusalem to die on a cross. Yes, I think he cares, all right? Jesus cares. But here's Martha crying out, don't you care? Another thing I see, Martha is she's a bit on the bossy side. I mean, she's really bossy. And you see this throughout Martha, you know, whenever the scriptures mention Martha, going back to John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's your fault, Jesus. It's your fault. I'm not sure how she said it, but that, I mean, if you, Jesus, I'm thinking she's blaming Jesus. And then when Jesus says, take the stone away, she says, no, he'll stink. Don't raise him. It's too late now. And you see the same thing going on here. Luke chapter 10, here, now. Tell her to help me. So she's always bossing Jesus around. Who is it? Think about it. Who is she bossing? The Lord. God Almighty. She's telling the Lord God Almighty what to do. Any Marthas here? Any Marthas? You got to think through this one. Okay. And the fourth thing, Martha is worried and upset. That's what Jesus called her out on. Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Too many people in your home, not enough food here, too much to do. Not realizing at any moment here, Jesus was capable of blessing the refrigerator and feeding 5,000 people if she would just ask. But she thinks she has to do it all. So what's the problem here? The problem is she wants to serve Jesus, and that's great. But the problem is she's serving Jesus with a bad attitude, and that's bad. She's freaking out. She's distracted. She's resentful. She's bossy. She's calling Jesus out. And Martha's thinking, this is the best sermon ever. This Christmas, we want to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. So I think my message here, be careful not to get distracted by all the little stuff, all the small stuff, all the sights, all the main thing is to keep the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus. So when you celebrate with your family, when you celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to examine yourself and don't do it with a bad attitude because you can't find a parking spot. Because the Christmas lights are still tangled up in a mess someplace. Don't be resenting your brother or your sister. Don't get distracted. Don't get stressed out. And allow Satan to rob you of your joy in worshiping the Lord for all that he's done for you. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away. And I want to ask you, do you identify with Mary? You're thinking, I'm Mary. I'm like her. Because you're not like Martha, because you're not distracted, because you're not serving. And that just because you're not serving doesn't mean you're like Mary. We might convince ourselves we're like Mary when we're not, because we're not serving like Martha, but we're also not sitting at the feet of Jesus either. We're just complacent. And of the choices here, I'm thinking Martha was a bit compulsive. Mary was committed. I remind you, Lazarus, we got him in the story too. When he was dead, he was complacent. Now, I fear some of us we're more like Lazarus than we are like Mary or Martha. We're just complacent. We're just existing. Jesus raised him from the dead, and he can raise you from the dead too, okay? He can help you out here. But what is it about Mary? Mary, what did Mary do? One thing is needed. Mary listened to Jesus. She sat at the Lord's feet, and she didn't just sit at the Lord's feet. She sat at the Lord's feet, and she listened to the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, "The seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts who hear the word of God, and they retain it. And by persevering, they produce a crop." But they listen, they hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, "Therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. So be careful. Consider how carefully you listen. Are you listening to the word of God? Are you allowing the word of God to penetrate your heart? Are you sitting at the feet? Why are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Because you can't think of anything better to do? Or do you sit at the feet of Jesus? We come here Sunday morning, every Sunday morning we come here. At Christmas Eve night, we will be here again worshiping. You go to Bible study, you go to small groups. Why do you do that? Hopefully we're here because we want to hear from God. We're listening to the word of God. We're listening to God speak to us, the God of the universe, the creator of all that is. We're listening to him speak to us. And we're allowing him to change us not because we're just sitting at his feet, but we're sitting at his feet and we're listening. It says in Luke 9, verse 35, a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And I think that's a great command for all of us. We are here to listen to him. We come to church each Sunday. And we come to Christmas each year to hear from God, to hear from Jesus. So Mary, she listened, and Mary abided in Christ. In other words, remained in Christ. I like the King James Version. She abided in Christ, doing the work of the Lord with the Lord's power, not in her own strength, not sweating the mill because she could ask Jesus at any moment to help out, and she knew Jesus would help. But it says in John 15, verse 5, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And this is Mary. This is what Mary's doing. She's remaining in Christ. She's abiding in Christ because she knows that's what's going to produce the fruit. John 15, verse 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." How do you bear fruit? You bear fruit from being at the feet of Christ and listening to Christ. That's how you bear fruit. And I wrote this down. This is the goal. There's a box in your outline. If you see the box, the box on the outline. That I want us to understand this. We come to worship so that we can then go out and work. We get connected to the vine. We make sure that we're connected to Jesus Christ. This is why we come here. We take communion. Am I connected? Is there sin between me and God? Is there anything wrong in my life? Have I become complacent? Have I become apathetic? Am I connected to Jesus Christ? Because when I know I'm connected to Jesus Christ, then I can go out and I can work. Now get this here, because I think a lot of times we get this wrong. I think this is why Sunday is the first day of the week, and this is why we worship on Sunday. This is my thinking. We need to worship on the first day of the week so that we can actually produce results the rest of the week. Unfortunately, I think our mindset too often, we have this backwards. We work, and then if there's anything left, if I have time left over, then I'll go worship the Lord at the end of the week. If worship is what you do at the end of the week, then you're working by your own strength. You're not working by the Spirit of God. If worship is what you do at the beginning of the week, that means all that you do the rest of the week is because you're connected to the vine. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. So Martha, let's talk about Martha here. What does Martha need to do? And I would tell you, I wrote down a couple things. I think, first of all, I want Martha to be encouraged here because Jesus isn't rebuking her. He's reminding her what is truly important. I'm sure he's grateful for all the work she's doing, for how she wants to serve him. I'm sure he's grateful, but he's reminding her, don't get distracted by the things of this world. I'm thrilled you want to serve me, but be careful. Don't serve me with a bad attitude. Don't serve me with resentment in your heart. I want you to serve me with joy. I want you to serve me with love. If you really want to please me, you know, focus less on the meat and potatoes and more on your brothers and sisters. So Jesus isn't condemning Martha. He's inviting Martha into a deeper relationship with him. And this is what I desperately want for each one of us here. That we take time to develop a deeper relationship with our Lord. And if you're Martha, here's another thing I wrote down. Be apologetic. It's not wrong to serve. It's not wrong to worship. But it is wrong to criticize those who are worshiping while you are working. Quit trying to force your brothers and sisters to be like you, serving with a grumpy attitude. When the goal here is for them to, what they're trying to do is be like Jesus Christ. Now, don't get in the way of that. Don't get in the way of somebody wanting to be like Christ when you want them to be like you. It's not about us. I don't want anybody to be like me. I want them to be like Jesus. So be encouraged. Be apologetic where you need to be apologetic. You know, if you are resenting somebody in your heart, you know, maybe do something to go make that right and release them of your expectations. You know what I'm saying there? And last thing here, make sure if you're a Martha that you're putting first things first. Don't get distracted by all the preparations. One thing is needed, and Mary chose what is better. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Once again, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, one thing is needed, and that one thing is that you remain in Christ. If you remain in Christ, you will bear much fruit. Don't lose your focus on that. Seek Christ with all your heart. Let me remind you, as a close up here, remind you of the Magi. I love the story of the wise men. We're going to talk about them next week, I think. But the Magi, remember that they traveled a great distance. What I've read before is maybe up to 600 miles without a car. I mean, how do you, back in 2,000 years ago, how do you do that? How do you travel 600 miles? I'm thinking that was a lot of walking, or they were on the back of a donkey. They had to leave. That's not a weekend trip. How long does it take to go 600 miles and back? Which means they probably left their families behind. They left their work behind. They left everything behind. They traveled this great distance, and it was probably a very dangerous trip to make. And why did they do that? They did this because they were searching for the King of the Jews. And when they found him, what did they do? They worshiped him. Because they knew that only one thing was needed. Only one thing was needed. Get our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And don't allow anything to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. That's all that's needed.
Lead me to you.